There you go.
Okay, here we go. Father's Day 2006. Woohoo! Okay, turn to Romans. You know what I was looking at? I was looking at... we talk about how we think, or we consider how we think, or our thoughts. We study or see in the Word about renewed mind, how we are to change our thinking, and so on and so forth. Did I tell you to turn to Romans?
Yes.
Oh, good. Chapter 8. Not chapter 12, although I am discussing thinking a little bit. And we also look at verses where it talks about believing and how it emanates from the heart. Believing is in the heart. And then we talk about how, or I'm sure you've heard, or you think about, or you've mentioned, or somebody's mentioned about you, about attitudes, right? Or as you say in Philadelphia, attitudes. And people have a good attitude, or a great attitude, or they have a bad attitude. And I was thinking about that, and I looked it up in Concordance, and the word attitude is never used in the Word of God. And then I looked it up of course, that was the King James Version. And then I looked it up in the Revised Standard Concordance, because that might use a different word for things, but it's not used there either. So, but you know, that's okay. Dictionary says that, first of all, the word attitude, the first definition is posture. Yeah, and then they give examples in the dictionary, he took a defensive posture. But that's the first meaning of the word attitude, posture. But then the one when we talk about, where we talk about, how your mind is, your mood or your thoughts or whatever, it says a settled behavior as representing feeling or opinion, a settled mode of thinking. So it does have to do with thoughts, doesn't it? And, we renew our mind by what? Changing our thoughts or our way of thinking, and our attitude is determined by our mode of thinking. You know, do we think certain ways? And so I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. It says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, those that are born again. Right? That's who it's talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, those that are born again. There's no sentence of death. Then it goes on to say in verse 2, because the rest of verse 1 is not in the text. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. No matter who's in charge, no person, no power, no circumstance, no situation can change that truth, can it? No matter what happens in your life, no matter what your situation is, what your circumstances, no matter if the devil takes over the world, you're still, there's no condemnation to you who are in Christ Jesus. How about that? That's pretty great, isn't it? That's absolute. That's an absolute. It can never change. So having that truth, that's a good attitude builder, isn't it? Regardless of what the situation may be at any particular moment or time. I know my mom was a nurse. She'd work in the hospitals, and some people she just loved to take care of, and other people she just... they were just a pain in the neck. But we know, some people when they're sick, they have great attitudes. Other people have bad attitudes. People who have good attitudes usually get healed faster. People that have bad attitudes usually get healed slower, if at all. So in life, there are absolutes, things that never change. There are physical laws that don't change, right? There are absolutes. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstance is, if you jump off the top of the Empire State Building, there's only one direction that you can go, depending a little bit about upon the wind blowing and how strong. But generally, you're headed downward. It's an absolute. Okay? So there are things in the Word. There are absolutes. There are truths. There are things that can determine your attitude, that if you keep those in your mind and in your heart, you'll have a good attitude. Whereas the circumstances and the situations, the details of life may change and do change continually, don't they? Let's go to Luke chapter 10. So what determines our attitude towards life? Or if you don't have a good attitude, how can you change it? Well, change your focus. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood stanched. Okay, this woman had an issue of blood for how long?
12 years.
And it says, she spent all her living upon physicians and neither could be healed of any. Well, we have a little bit of insight into this woman in the fact that she continued to make an effort to get healed, didn't she? Now, I don't know what kind of mental attitude she had, whether it was positive or negative, but she had continued to look, didn't she? She had continued to move forward and try to be healed. She didn't just quit. She didn't give up. She didn't stop for 12 years. Now let's go to Matthew chapter, hold your place there. Well, no, just go to chapter 9 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Identical record, but it gives us a little more, a little different information. Verse 20, it said, well, Jesus rose and followed him. Verse 19, referring to Jairus. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. So she said within herself. Nobody told her that, did they? No, but she must have heard about Jesus Christ or seen him or knew of him and knew at the very least that he was a man of God, a prophet. But maybe more. Maybe she heard that he was the Son of God, that he had done other healings, that he had, you know, saved people, that he had changed their lives. So she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So her attitude was that she was going to get healed, wasn't it?
Yep.
It wasn't just, you know, oh, death is, life has dealt me a bad hand and I'm screwed and I got to deal with this the rest of my life and then I'm going to die and never be happy again. She continued to push forward to try to get healed. So that says something about her attitude, doesn't it? Okay, let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. So our attitude, if it's based upon God's word, should be pretty good, shouldn't it?
Yep.
It should be positive. That's not to say you're not going to run into problems in life. It's not going to say, you know, you're not going to hit bumps in the road. It's not to say that, you know, there's not going to be sadness at times and happiness at times. But you ever notice that certain people or things, people have a positive attitude all the time. You know, generally, overall, people with a good attitude have a good attitude, right? And people with a poor attitude and people that are, you know, conditioned by circumstances and situations are like that all the time. I think we can make up our mind what kind of attitude we're going to have. What mode of thinking is going to be our everyday mode of thinking? You know, are we going to be basically positive and have a positive attitude about everything in life, or are we going to have a negative attitude about everything in life? And that will be conditioned by how you hold the Word of God in your heart and in your mind on a regular basis. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear, with reverence and respect." Fear and trembling, reverence and respect. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Do you think that there's ever a time, if you're born again, when God is not trying to work in you? He's always trying to work in us so that we will make a decision to do his will and his good pleasure. He's always working in us. He's always trying to move us toward what the best thing in life for us is. Now, do we always listen? No. But you know, if you have a good attitude, if you have a godly attitude, if you have a biblical attitude, it's going to be a little bit easier for God to give you the nudge, to work in you, for you to hear him, to listen. Then it says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Think about Israel in the wilderness. What kind of attitude did they have?
Terrible.
Terrible attitude. God was always taking them out in the wilderness to kill them. Yeah, that was their perspective. You know, "Moses, you brought us out here. You and God, you planned this all so you could bring us out in the wilderness so you could kill us all. What's that all about? Where did that come from? You brought us out here so we would starve, so we would lose our benefits in Egypt and our perks and our retirement plans." And then you have to say to yourself, what retirement plan? What benefits? Here it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Now that doesn't mean that you can't go to God and say, "Hey God, what's this all about?" Jesus Christ did, didn't he? He prayed in the garden. He said, "You know, God, I'm not quite sure about this plan. Can we figure out something else? Or is this the only way we can do it?" And God showed him, and he said, okay, and then he got blessed. He had to go through some stuff, but he got blessed, didn't he? He went through stuff so we don't have to go through some stuff. Then it says, verse 15, "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We are to shine as lights in the world without murmurings and disputings. If you have a bad attitude, are you going to shine as lights in the world? If you're negative all the time, are you going to shine as a light in the world? If you're unsure of what God's going to do for you, are you going to shine as a light in the world? No. You're not. But God's exhortation to us is that we are to shine as lights in this world. We're to be without murmurings, without disputings, and we are to shine as lights in this world. "Holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And you know, this is Paul writing, and he says, holding that you may shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, so that I, Paul, may rejoice in the day of Christ, so that when Christ comes back, you know, and we're all there, and we're known as he is known, and all things are revealed to us, I'm going to rejoice because you guys really were positive. You really shined as lights. You really held forth the word. And I did my job because I'm the one that taught you and told you to do that. That I have not run in vain. That, you know, my life was not without purpose. That the things I did were worthwhile. That you shined as lights. That you spoke the word. And that I neither labored in vain. You know, my work, my exhortations, my writings, my preaching, my teaching, my example of life was not without purpose. Because you guys shined as lights in this world. How about that? But you're not going to shine if your attitude stinks. You're not going to shine if you're... Where's Johnny? He's not here. Negative Nelson. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You know what I realized this morning as I was reading through the Word? The Word is full of attitude builders. It's just chock full of attitude builders. You find yourself getting negative? Open the Bible. Memorize a verse. Put a godly thought in your mind. Chapter 15, verse 51. Behold. What does behold mean? Check it out. Pay attention. Shut up and listen. I show you a mystery. If he shows you a mystery, it must have been not known before this time, right? It was a secret. Nobody knew it before he revealed it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's kind of a great little figure of speech, isn't it? In a twinkling of an eye. How cool is that? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. How?
Incorruptible.
Was this known before?
No.
Like this? No. Now, Israel believed in a resurrection of the dead, but apparently they didn't know that some people would never die. They never knew that the dead would be raised incorruptible in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the trumpet would sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, those that are alive, shall be changed. How shall we be changed? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that's kind of a neat figure of speech, isn't it? Death shall be swallowed up in victory. Because, you know, when you die, your body is swallowed up by the earth, isn't it? But it says here that death will be swallowed up in victory, in life. Because that's what it refers to. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know, that's an interesting and strange kind of verse there. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But we read in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Right? Romans and Corinthians relate, don't they? And I guess in Corinth, they didn't get it. So he had to repeat that. He had to let them know. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're trudging along and trudging along and trudging along, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, if you know that you are going to win, if you have the victory, it's kind of easier to trudge along through all the difficulties and the mud and the dirt and the rain and the snow and the sleet and everything else, right? If you know that you're going to get there and you've got, you know, the prize at the end of the road, you can move along through it, can't you? It says here, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ultimate victory, don't we? So that's an attitude builder, isn't it? You know, no matter what, you can't lose. You could screw up so bad it would be ridiculous. You can't lose in life. You just can't lose. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. You know, because you know this, because God's promises, because we have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death, because we have the ultimate victory, because we get that new body, we're going to be immortal, we're going to be incorruptible. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you're doing the work of the Lord, you will always abound. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. That's a great attitude builder. That you know all these things. You have the final victory. That God has done it all for you. That death is swallowed up in victory. That we're going to be incorruptible. We're going to be immortal. It's a great thing to know. It's a great thing to know. So why would you murmur? Why would you dispute? Why would you be negative? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is just a great attitude chapter. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, spirit of bondage. Is there a spirit of bondage?
Yes.
Yeah. Does it come from God?
No.
No. But is that spirit that we receive from God a spirit of bondage?
No.
No. But ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, every day for us should be Father's Day, shouldn't it? With our Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, having a good attitude, you know, right now, this very moment, it's not going to get any better than this, is it? You're a son of God. With all power. You're going to heaven. Nothing can stop you. Those things are never going to change, are they? Those truths are forever. You know, in the Declaration of Independence, they wrote all these great sounding words. These truths we find self-evident. You know, I struggle sometimes to find those truths in the Word. However, the truths of the Word are phenomenal. They are liberating. They are freeing. They are uplifting. They are encouraging. They are
cleansing.
They are eternal. They are true. They don't change. We are the children of God. That's not going to change. No matter what you do, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter where you are God's child. And that means you have eternal life. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what?
Heirs.
Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's not a bad deal. Is that ever going to change? Can you lose that inheritance? You know, if my kids are rotten and mean and I get mad at them, I can disinherit them. I can write them out of the will, if I had a will. If my wife doesn't behave, I don't know. She could probably sue and get it back. But God can't write us out of the will, can he?
No.
Jesus Christ can't write us out of the will, can he? Because God promised that it's forever. Eternal promises. An eternal inheritance, it says in Hebrews. It's forever. It can't change, can't be lost. We always have it. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, I account, that the sufferings, you know, what we have to endure in this physical life of this present time are not worthy to be compared. And the word to be compared is in italics, but it is implied in the word worthy in the Greek. They are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Just not worthy to be compared to what God has promised. So that's never going to change either, is it? No matter what. Let's go down to verse 28. Some great attitude builders here at the end of the chapter. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Does that mean if you go out and sin purposely and curse God that things are going to work to the good for you in this day in, day out routine? No. But, you know, eternally, things will work out to the good for you because at some point or another, you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're going to go to heaven. However, if you work for God, it said in Corinthians that, you know, always abandon the work of the Lord, right? So if you work for God, if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, then things will work together for good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate or foreordain, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hey, you were justified. If you were justified, can that ever change? No, can never change. Once you've been justified, you're justified for how long?
Forever.
Wow. That's something I can have a positive attitude about, huh? And glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Oh man, life's a bummer. It's so hard and so difficult. Some people do, don't they? You tell them the word, they know the word, they see the word, they're born again, they know they're going to heaven, they say, life sucks. It's an attitude, isn't it? It's a mode of thinking. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. What's that, Murphy's Law? Where's Tim Murphy? I'm going to hit him for it. It's just some stupid thing they call it, right? And that's how some people live. But is that true?
No.
No. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow. If God's for us, isn't that what Joshua said when they were sent the 12 spies into Israel, into the promised land, and they came back? And Joshua said, man, it's there for the taking. We got God on our side. And the other guy said, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of these guys. Who had the good attitude? Caleb and Joshua. Who had a sucky attitude? The other guys. Go back and read it. Numbers 13, I think. 12, 13 in there. Kadesh Barnea. What an attitude. No wonder they didn't go into the promised land for 40 years. Their attitude stunk. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do we start every day with that attitude? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, if you dwell on that verse long enough, it just might sink in and you might say, holy cow, that's what Hindus say. Wait a minute. Boy, that's great. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can accuse a believer of anything? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? What do we read in the beginning of the chapter? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is raised again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Boy, that'll ruin your day, won't it? You know what? Sheep go wherever they're led. Whoever they perceive to be the shepherd, they're going to follow. And they will go wherever they're led, right to the slaughter, without even an inkling of protest, because they're good little lambs. Are we led as sheep to the slaughter?
No!
In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loved us? God? Christ? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So does God continue to love us, even when we murmur, even when we dispute, even when the negative bug gives us a bite on the butt? Yeah. But do we have any reason to be negative? Do we have any reason to have a life sucks attitude? No, not one. And, you know, if you want to build your attitude, if you want to have a positive attitude, if you want to have a godly attitude, if you want to have your mind in the right place, well, read Romans 8 for one, or anywhere else you would so choose. Because God has given us all those positive, great promises. He's told us all those great things that are true, that will never change. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's us. Will it ever change? Never. Who or what can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Nary a thing. Nothing. So there's no reason for us to have a bad attitude, is there? There's no reason for us to be negative like that. Because God has done such great things for us. He's made such great promises. We have a reason to have a great attitude. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. What a great thing. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have the best Father of all time. And if nothing else, every day is a great Father's Day for us, that we should be thankful and remember you, and that we can walk with you and talk with you every single day. And we just thank you for this and for your great love for us through your Son, our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.